Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Unfortunately, we've run out of time today. Whatever it means for you in your club, we'll talk about that later.
Welcome to another episode of We'll Talk About That Later, a podcast about football. Mostly about opinions, sometimes about facts, depending on who you ask. Since you're here listening to us, subscribe to us on your favorite podcast platform, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Deezer, Google Podcasts, wherever. We are there. And follow us on social media as well. We're on Instagram and Twitter at WTATLOfficial. And we're also on TikTok at WTATL.podcast. Now, I'm about to tell you what episode we're on.
119.
Jeez, that was quick.
Yes, had to. It was on my mind.
Can we stop playing that?
No,
I don't like. I'm sick of it already. Yeah, depending on who you ask, I know he's at me, innit?
Why is everything about you?
I mean, I don't make the rules, innit? So
okay, well, we got someone with a big ego on the podcast. Mark, welcome back.
Thank you. I was going to say this is the first time we've all four of us have been in the same room, got a microphone each.
For 2 months?
2 months is a stretch.
A month and a half?
Is also a stretch, but it's been...
I think it was about 2 podcasts ago.
Yeah, it's been a short distance, but it's been quite sporadic recently, so it's good to be back in the same room, my peoples.
I may have been here, like my body, but my mind was somewhere else, so...
Crazy.
Story of your life.
Yeah. Anyway, Tanya, how are you? You were here via phone call
I've been better.
She's out on day release.
Tanya got reprimanded for that, by the way. So there'll be no more calling in. Abdi obviously got reprimanded when he called in from a cave the other month.
The other month was back in bloody December, mate.
But sorry, Tans.
No, I'm good. I've indulged in a new sport. Basketball's now my new calling. So,
but you know we don't talk about basketball.
Yeah, exactly. I go to a different podcast.
Well, we could still.
Who do you support?
Boston Celtics.
We've of had course. This conversation.
Yeah, we haven't had it on mic though.
Oh.
Big up Tatum, woo!
Okay, and now I know why she supports Boston Celtics.
No.
She's fancy Tatum. I can't lie, he is unreal.
If you don't know Jason Tatum, he's just he looks like someone out of Love Island.
Jason Tatum, no, but he's actually really good though.
He's good. Yeah. Anyway, this isn't a basketball podcast, let's move on.
I know, it gets me excited. Anyway, continue.
All right.
How are you, Abdi?
Yeah, I'm fine, thanks.
Yes, Abdi, that was a nice, calm and composed answer.
Yeah, usually we get like something sarcastic and... I don't know, backhanded comment.
So what, no Abdi's tells today?
No
tells.
Although this guy nearly scared me half to death coming out of the train and pointing at Mark.
What did he do?
No, he come up behind me and touched my shoulder and I realised, I guess the reason I shouted so loud, I was like, whoa! And I nearly shit myself. And the reason for that is because I don't like people touching me, I guess.
Oh yeah, he did say that on the podcast. Do you remember that poor person who keeps touching him?
Oh yeah.
That homeless man who keeps touching him.
Yeah. I said poor person.
Yeah, sorry. That was a poor choice of words. But the homeless man who keeps touching
him. Did you get a bit shook, Abdi?
Yeah, and then I was about to swing for him.
Man actually
when
jumped.
I saw him.
You know, you figuratively say, oh, he jumped when I touched him. Like, he actually jumped in the air.
Did he say, whoa, with like his normal voice, with his squeal?
No, he turned around, he was like, all right, if that weren't you, I was going to bang you, you know?
No. And then I saw it was Mark, and then I was going to bang him in the face, yeah.
Yeah.
I knew it was Mark, I was like, oh, I should bang him in the face.
Full
it's a good opportunity,
threats.
Yeah. I should have just swung without question, asking questions.
No. It's peace and love here on the podcast. Before we get into the usual agenda, spotlight games, follow every Premier League game, let's talk about something that happened shortly after we recorded. I think it was Thursday. It might have been Wednesday. Whatever.
We don't record on a Thursday, but yeah.
Thanks for that information.
Are you talking about Real Madrid PSG?
No.
Oh, okay.
We don't know. We'll have to wait.
Yeah,
to
I was going
to
actually...
Well, get to it then, innit, bro?
But you keep interrupting me. I was talking about Chelsea being sanctioned and...
Okay.
Oh, look, now he's crazy. We got claps going on. Abdi's brightened up now.
No.
He was ready to shoot down whatever he said until you heard the words Chelsea and sanctioned in the same sentence.
Thought we were going to get to it when we talk about Chelsea.
Yeah, but why not? Why,
have they been liquidated yet? Just so.
Well, no. I haven't checked the latest news, but last time I saw, not. But just because it seems like every breaking news seems to happen after Tuesday. Always. Like, we record and then something major happens. Yeah. And then we have to wait a whole week to talk about it. So everyone's probably like done out talking about it. But here we are. This is when we record. So
the man are all going to have to get on the Eurostar going Lille, innit?
Well, Havertz has already
buy your tickets, innit?
Havertz has already said, like, him and I suppose the other Chelsea players don't mind paying for themselves.
Marks. Oh, how heroic of them,
isn't it? How much 100,000 a week are you
also
on?
Also, is Muggins' behavior, bruv. When he signs a contract, yeah, he signs up for the fact that they're gonna have to pay for his travel, yeah. He didn't have to pay out of his own pocket.
But they, what's it called? The UK government sees that, like, blocked their credit cards as well.
What, so, the players?
No. The club. So they couldn't even put petrol in the bus.
Nice. That's true. That's true.
I'm not making that up.
So, does the sanction affect the players' salaries?
No.
So how does that work then? Isn't it
about because it's all about the income of the club?
Oh, okay.
So they can't sell tickets. Sales. They can't sell merchandise. I think they can have fans at games who have already bought tickets before the sanctions. Yeah. But they can't have fans. Credits to Middlesbrough, by the way, for their statement off the back of Chelsea's statement today, which I thought was ridiculous. Essentially asking Middlesbrough for quote-unquote sporting integrity to play that FA Cup quarterfinal behind closed doors. Not a single fan. And
the word integrity has not been anything associated with Chelsea for 19 years.
These men have been tapping up people since 2004. They want to talk about sporting integrity.
Where was the sporting integrity where you bought every young British player and then stockpile them on your bench?
Yeah, tell them
why
again.
Why is like half of Cobham out in Vitesse, bro? where's the sporting integrity?
And they beat us
I just want to read that statement from Middlesbrough just in return. It's a couple of paragraphs long,
but make sure, like, when you get to the last sentence, just emphasize that, like, put on your best reading voice.
I don't know what are we talking about the last sentence.
Let him read it.
But let me just get through it. It's nice and quick. But I thought it was the perfect response from Middlesbrough. And now, off the back of that, a couple of hours later, Chelsea have officially withdrawn that request to have the game played behind closed doors. So it did the job. So here goes. It said, "We are aware of Chelsea's request to have Saturday's FA Cup sixth round tie played behind closed doors and find their suggestion both bizarre and without any merit whatsoever. All concerned are well aware of the reasons Chelsea have been sanctioned and that this has nothing to do with Middlesbrough Football Club. To suggest, as a result, that Middlesbrough Football Club and our fans should be penalised is not only grossly unfair, but without any foundation. Given the reasons for these sanctions, for Chelsea to seek to invoke sporting, quote-unquote, integrity, as the reason for the game being played behind closed doors is ironic in the extreme."
Woo!
Love that.
That's
sentence
the
there.
Last sentence.
Love that. Love sentence that. There. And then it just ends with, "We currently await formal notification from the FA of the next steps, but rest assured, Middlesbrough Football Club will resist Chelsea's actions in the strongest terms." And that statement worked because Chelsea have, I said a second ago, withdrawn that original request, and it's just going to be Middlesbrough fans.
Was it called them pathetic? Like, called Chelsea pathetic?
Yeah.
What Middlesbrough should have done is they should have linked the article. When you click the article, it should say in capitals, "You dickhead." Are we a bunch of mugs?
Yeah.
No, but to be fair, like, I, the only like, the thing is, obviously, I'm enjoying this. Like I said last week, you know, I bathe in the blood of my haters. So, you know, blue tears is what I've been enjoying all week. And like, yeah. So, but like, I do only feel bad for like people who like the Chelsea fans who aren't complete scumbags, which are few and far between.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly. I was just
like
gonna say.
Someone like Tommy, he's a decent person.
Yeah.
Ardian's a decent person. Ardian. I feel bad for them.
Yeah.
But like 98% of other Chelsea fans, rest in piss. I'm enjoying this.
Rest in piss.
I'm enjoying this.
So Ardian and Tommy make up.
Well, I guess so. That's two, isn't it? So yes, 98
they,
other people.
They make 2% of
that sample size. Yeah.
So they only have 100 fans.
Yeah, I guess so. Isn't it? Yeah, mate, it's only been going for 19 years, isn't it? So, but it's I the sanctions part. We all understand it. But to be fair, do you think it's going to be like, obviously for now, it's tricky for Chelsea. It's a tricky situation now. But in the long term, I don't think they're going to stop them selling the club.
Honestly, yeah. At first I thought like everyone was celebrating. I thought, oh, this could be the end of Chelsea. But then at the same time, I just had a feeling that was like, they're going to get through this somehow. And it might not be the Chelsea that we've been used to over the last how many other years, but some billionaire egotistical guy is going to
buy them anyway.
Many people
apparently parties.
Jesus, there 150 you go.
Parties.
But you got to think that Chelsea are in £1.5 billion of debt, which Roman Abramovich is happy to write off. And just say, look, whatever. That 1.5 billion in my eyes doesn't exist. I'll take on the brand.
Imagine how rich do you have to be that someone owes you 1.8 billion and you're like, you know what?
Just call it quits. But what the point that I'm trying to get at is that any new kind of retrospective owners and any ownership party or however many people form a consortium, they will have to manage that club in a different way to Roman Abramovich, i.e. debt will have to be paid off as part of the money that the clubs makes, rather than a Roman Abramovich just soaking up all that debt and then kind of, in this case, just saying, I'll take it on board. So I don't think Chelsea can operate how they have done in the past 10-15 years, even if they get someone in who's a billionaire. They're not going to be prepared to write off debts how Abramovich was. So they're going to have to run in a completely different way, Chelsea, and it'll be interesting to see the type of direction that they go in. I mean, Chelsea... Recent history suggests they'll always have money and they'll always buy players and they'll always win trophies. I don't think that will stop, but like I said, I think the excessive spending, 100 million on Lukaku to sit on the bench,
the thing is, it's
going to have to stop.
The next owner will be a wealthy person as well. So I don't think that in that regard, Chelsea won't be a club that are going to be like on what do you call it?
Free fall.
No, well, no. I mean, like a guy who watch the money a little bit more. They're not going to be a club who are like
a frugal person.
Exactly, more frugal. But I mean, what they're going to have is. I remember I was watching Sunderland Till I Die, and when they got the new owners in the second season, they were like, "This club's business model has always been we send a bill to the wealthy owner in America," which is exactly what Chelsea have been doing for the last 20 years with Abramovich. Yeah. Just. Send a bill to him, and like you said, this guy is so rich that he can write off 1.5 billion. Crazy. That's he's willing to
Insane.
Do that. Obviously, like the thing is with Abramovich, he is the thing that mainly will change with Chelsea. Like you said, the business model will change, but you're not going to find another owner who's so desperate to win as much as he is, isn't it? We don't know how he got his money. Obviously, there's probably some bodies buried somewhere in Russia.
Wow. Allegedly. This is how we're starting.
Allegedly. But, you know, Chelsea have benefited from the fact that he really wants to win. You know, we've seen it in the way he acts and the way he's willing to back a manager and you'll sack anyone who doesn't win. So
we might see someone come in and buy Chelsea who's more passive and just...
Yeah, I think that culture of sacking managers will change.
I'm gonna put a bid in.
There's a lot of questions, but one question that what did you say?
I'm gonna put a bid in.
What, £1.80?
It doesn't matter. if by some miracle my bid is successful, I'll work to liquidate the company. Yeah, Arsenal, you can have a Reece James £1. Lukaku, we pay Arsenal to take him.
What was I gonna say is with all of this. Obviously, like a few months ago, Newcastle were bought by Saudi owners now and stuff. Do you think, and the Premier League have been relatively quiet around the sanctions and all this kind of stuff. Do you think that they're working on a plan to vet whoever comes to buy, like future people who come in to buy Premier League clubs? Because the stuff that happens to Chelsea... let's say potentially could happen to Newcastle where I don't know if Saudi Arabia are, you know, I don't know what the political situation is over there.
They're not too dissimilar to what they're doing with Russia doing.
But,
so.
Yeah. But what I mean is like whether they're going to start a war soon or whatever.
Well, yeah, they go there. I don't want to get too political, but the US are supplying Saudi Arabia to kill, you know, a war in Yemen. So it's happening.
So that's what I mean. Like, would they sanction Newcastle the same way? And then if they do, the question is then, like, should the Premier League then have more thorough background checks, like vet whoever comes here to who is pumping money into the clubs? Because if that's going to happen, that's going to keep happening to loads of clubs, and they can't, so they're going to sanction every Premier League club?
But it's also, how many clubs actually have pure owners? Let's be honest.
Exactly, yeah. To be fair, like, we're Arsenal, Liverpool, Man United, all have American owners.
Yeah.
How many wars did America start? And they're not going to sanction them, innit? Exactly. And Saudi Arabia, like, they're, I don't know. I don't know what the political relationship is. I don't want to get too much into that.
The difference between the American owners that we've got is that they're not actually actively involved exactly. with the American.
Yeah, and they're also not funding the main person.
But Saudi, the owner who owns Newcastle, he's a prince. So obviously he's going to be involved in that kind of stuff, isn't he? Well, he's going to have more links to political stuff, innit? So I do remember back in the day, we know in Man City when they first got money before the Arabs came in, they got a Thai owner who he hired Sven.
Yeah.
And this is before. And then Man City thought they were going to, oh, this is the start of a new revolution. But this guy was the most corrupt guy ever. And then they brought in policies for what they called fit and proper owners.
Yeah.
So I think... it depends, you know. It's difficult to know, you know. We don't know what political side, because everyone knows they're on the political side of trying to make this terrible for Putin and Russia.
Yeah.
So anyone who has links to him, sanctioned. Anyone who links to Russia, sanctioned. You see the Formula One guy, Nikita Mazepin. He's the driver. His dad is Russian, and he funded Haas, the driving team Haas. And then he's been removed as well now. So everything really, anything to do with Russia is just going to be a living hell really for anyone. So, but long may this downfall of Chelsea continue.
I don't think it's going to be a downfall as much as I would love it to be.
I mean, at least there's no Roman. That's the meal.
I mean, you say there's no downfall. I mean, there currently is, because they can't afford to go to Lille. They can't afford to do certain things.
Question, can they, so come transfer window, they're allowed to buy any players?
No, they can't.
No. They can't renew any contracts, so you've got Rudiger, Christensen, and Aspi.
What didn't they?
Captain.
I saw that Thiago Silva hadn't.
Bring me Rudiger.
Your dream.
Yeah. I saw that Thiago Silva hadn't signed his new contract yet.
I'm not too sure of the.
Oh no,
he
got renewed before.
Yeah, okay, I think he might have got renewed.
They can't renew any contracts either.
They can't even accept.
They're just going to bring back.
They can't accept money for sales. They can't accept money in the repayments. Like, if people have like structures into paying, they can't.
But all they've got is like Conor Gallagher come back, they've got Broha come back.
Yeah, no, but they got like 74 players coming back from loan. They can't sell them. So next season, for example, if this goes on to next 100
season. 100-man squad,
innit? Yeah, but like they can only register 23 players to the Premier League. So they're going to have 60 players just chilling.
But you know, man, honestly, I don't have any faith in any of this stuff. Remember when we thought Man City were going to get kicked out of the Champions League?
Oh, yeah.
There's always going to be, obviously, this is the difference. It's not difficult. Yeah, it's difficult. It's different. But I always feel like there's just going to be a loophole for Chelsea to continue. Like, if it was real, then how did they travel to Norwich?
No, because they're still allowed a 20K...
It takes a minimum 30K for an away trip. That's what they say.
Yeah, that's right. What
hotels
say.
And all that stuff.
Yeah, so what cool. You're involved in all of that stuff.
I read it online.
But what I'm saying is, like, they're still allowed certain things. So, like Mark was saying, they can still pay salaries. They have this 20K budget for each game. So, and the players have already said that, you know, we'll pay for our own flights to Lille or wherever we have to go. So they can still operate somewhat in between the sanctions. It's just it might affect them in the long term.
Yeah, I feel it does.
Like if they have to keep shelling out, like for example, some clubs, like when they go on away at Champions League, they'll like to come home on the night.
Yeah.
So they'll fly home. Chelsea might not be able to do that. They might have to take a bus
My
back.
My heart bleeds and for them.
Fair enough, but it will have. Imagine being on a bus, yeah, for like 12, 15 hours, coming back. It's not the same as being on a flight for two hours. And
I think you can see all of us are nodding.
Yeah,
really
I'm just like, yeah.
No, everyone's like, yeah, bring it on.
Bring it on. But what I'm saying is,
hasn't slept for 30 hours, yeah.
But that's what I'm saying. That's the kind of effects that it will have on like, and we might start seeing that in the next coming games. Because, like, obviously, it was announced on the day of or before when they went to Norwich. And so, like, I don't think it was going to affect them that much. They played Newcastle at home. So now I think it's going to start affecting them. The Middlesbrough game.
How long can they not profit off anything?
Until May.
Hopefully forever.
But is the money that they've got going to hold them till May? If they can't make any money from days, merchandise. That's crazy.
But that's what they were saying. That's why they...
I mean, they're not exactly struggling now, are they?
No, but like...
They're not counting pennies.
But imagine, like, you're only... There's no income coming in. Yeah, it's only expenditure.
Bad.
And it's a lot because, like, some of these players' wages are a lot. And you're paying them for match days and all this kind of stuff.
And staff.
And then that's why there was the threat of, like, administration where they'd have to declare that they can't pay back loans and all that kind of stuff.
So when can they get a points deduction?
After administration is, like, after they go into administration, then they automatically get a 9-point deduction, like, point deduction. But before all of that happens, they still have Friday, which the government has allowed an extension for them to sell the club. But that's like, what, 3 days, four days?
You really can't buy anything on their website. They've got a little notice. Ah, love it.
Oh, really?
Wait, let me screenshot this and make this my screensaver.
But what?
We spent like 20 minutes on Chelsea. Move on.
All right, that was mad abrupt.
No, it's because I was looking at your face. He was getting more and more frustrated.
Nah, don't.
Because you know about his temper.
What are you talking about?
You know about his temper, innit? Remember that day when he nearly smashed up the table? After the podcast, when he nearly smashed up the table.
King Waffler. All right, I've got a quick question for you. Yeah, it's not Abdi's questions this week, it's Mark's question.
Oh, yeah.
He literally before the podcast.
Say it again,
literally before the podcast, he goes, we can do both.
Right, it's just a quick one. So in our first leg against Inter Milan, when we won away from home 2-0, Jurgen Klopp became only the 8th manager to win 50 Champions League games.
Damn.
Can you name the other 7? 5 of them are pretty, you should get them, and the other 2 are, you should get them as well.
Fergie, Pep, Mourinho.
And Wenger.
That's 4.
Yeah.
Ancelotti.
5.
Ooh,
good for you. And then the two I thought would take a little bit longer.
Simeone?
No, but think.
Winning 50, won 50.
50 games in the Champions League. You're just missing the two. So at the moment.
Who's that?
That Bayern manager.
No.
So at the moment, we've got Klopp, Ferguson, Ancelotti, Guardiola, Wenger, and Mourinho. 6.
Heinkes.
Fink.
Hansi Flick. No.
Benitez.
Yes. Nice one, Tan.
Yes. He just pointed at himself.
No.
Mark Mooner.
Tell people that.
Mark Mooner.
Mark.
So you're missing one. This is actually the trickiest one. So I'm not expecting you to get this. But when I say it, you'll probably be like,
country,
oh.
What country isn't one? How's
Simeone? I haven't been in the Champions League much.
Allegri?
He's got a van in his name.
Oh, that's a good one.
Allegri?
Van Basten? No.
Van Allegri, yeah?
No. I said Allegri before you said the van thing.
He's got a van in the middle of his name. Van.
Any van.
Van how?
There you go.
You help me.
So they are the 8 managers in Champions League, the only 8 managers in Champions League history to have won 50 games in the competition, which is actually a smaller amount than I would have imagined, to be
Champions
honest.
Champions League is hard,
but
isn't it?
But it is, exactly.
I thought Klopp would have won, because he's been to 3 finals, hasn't he? So,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. So but you're forgetting, with Dortmund. It was kind of not expected to win every Champions League game. And with Liverpool, I mean, he's we've won them all this season, apart from the second leg, to be fair. But yeah, no, you got that quite quick. But yeah, it was just interesting that there's only 8. I'm sure there are a couple who are pretty close.
Mm-hmm.
Zidane maybe being one, to be fair, Tans. Abdi, what's your question?
It's not a quiz question. It was just a question that I thought we could talk about, like something that I thought of.
Go on then.
Okay. Why are... It's because he's looking at me so judgmental. So why are I went to the Arsenal game at the weekend. Yeah, why are I just realised. Yeah, why are football fans so unreasonable when it comes to their club? So like, just generally, like obviously, like I mentioned on podcast last week, I said when you support a big 6 club, yeah, and I was talking to you about it at the weekend. When you support a big 6 club, yeah, or like a bigger team, anything other than a win is a disaster. And everything, like, if you lose a game, rather than just holding your hands up to the superior team, you have to talk about faults within your team. We lost because of this player. We lost because we defended like this. We lost because this. Football fans here, like, I was getting so frustrated where I was sitting in the Emirates. Yeah, there was a guy who was sitting next to me, or near me, and he was literally moaning from the first minute. And we were in control for most of the game. And I was just thinking, like, what does he want? Does he want us to have 100% possession, score 16 goals, yeah? And then he goes, why aren't we pressing? If we press that much, yeah, every player will die, bro. It's like, it just got me thinking, like, I watched, Danny was talking about NBA earlier, like when you, sometimes a team will lose 15 games a season, yeah? And then the Twitter, I spoke the Warriors, they were on a horrible run, losing a lot, yeah? And the Twitter account was just talking about, oh, well, this player's got 25 points and there's no one on their neck. So if, for example, Arsenal lost 3-0 at the weekend and Arsenal, a Twitter account tweeted, oh, well, Lacazette completed 20 passes or something like that, they'd get like abused, like, yeah, and they wouldn't dare tweet it. But it's just like football fans. I don't know, what is it about football that makes fans like so unreasonable when it comes to their team and try and put things in more context?
It's
I don't know.
I think it's the passion for me. I think you'll find it hard to find another sport in the world that gives that fans have kind of that a certain level of passion for, where it starts to feel like it feels personal almost.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And then I think, but you'll find that there's two sides to every coin. So you have the unreasonable football fan, but then you'll find the football fan who never finds a fault in his club. The club was unlucky, you know, like, oh, it just wasn't our day, the ref,
but
this guy's injured. So I think you'll find both. They're different levels of passion, because one can't even find a fault in his club. The other one just wants his club to win so much that everything else is like...
I get that, but then I think the unreasonable far outweighs uber positive.
But no, but like the uber positive, the delusional one, it's hard to argue with him, because him or her, because after a while you just be like, this person's delusional.
But like, that guy was annoying. Like, honestly, he was actually making my day. He was ruining my day by being so. He was literally complaining about everything. Xhaka didn't pass it right away and pass it to someone because, oh, he's so shit. Shouting.
Yeah, but what was the scoreline?
It was, we were winning 1-0 and he's moaning. Proper to the point where his head was about to blow off. And they were 2-0 up, still moaning. Why are we here pressing? Why are we pressing? I was like, mate, it's the 89th minute. What are we pressing? Fresh air. We were keeping the ball. What are we pressing ourselves?
Maybe he just, I don't know, still has that anxiety that Arsenal may.
No, I get it, because there's,
I don't
like,
know.
For example,
no, but to be fair, like, the way we're playing right now, yeah.
Yeah, there's no reason to be.
It's like you'd have to be super, super hard-headed to not give the team credit.
Yeah, because like, I've sat next to some negative people as well. Like, for example, I can't remember who we were winning, and then Arteta's bringing on Nketiah. And he's like, oh, why are you bringing on Nketiah? Like, I'm like, bro, there's only 2 minutes left. Like, why? What? Nketiah's not going to let in 3 goals. Some, like, he's not even his job.
That person obviously has an agenda against Arteta.
No, I know, but that's just an example. Like.
No, but I get that. But then I feel like there's something about, like, Mark, you sort of answered it, Mark, but there's something about football as a.
Yeah.
People are
so heated about
it. I get it, but I get it. It's the passion. But, like, sometimes, like, context is important. Like, sometimes, yeah, and I don't mean to draw you out,
context,
yeah,
is,
but when it comes
important
to Tanya's Twitter, yeah, I think I get Tottenham are rubbish at times, yeah, but you're so unreasonable to the point where she's losing her mind.
Are
and then
joking?
Every
me?
Week,
unreasonable.
Every week, yeah, when it comes to the top four, you go, top four's done. I'm not watching it again. I'm done with Tottenham. Back again next week.
No, Tottenham is completely different, because this is years of constant disappointment. That's why I get so frustrated. But maybe you're right. Maybe,
but
I
then, yeah, okay, so like, fine, there's that. But then there's a person who's supported a club who's been successful for however long, and then their club is in a, like, 2-3, like Man United fans.
No, even Chelsea fans, they were moaning a lot this season.
Yeah, Chelsea fans complaining.
Oh, our squad's not good enough. Yeah. Well, at the start of the season, best squad in the league.
But I think it's what Mark was saying, because football is so personal to, like, it's what, I think it was one of Jamie Carragher or Gary Neville yesterday said that football is escapism. So, like, whatever you've got going on in your own life, you've got the weekend to look forward to. Win or lose or draw, it's, you're not thinking about what's going on in your life. You're thinking about what's going on with your club or football. And then so, like, people take it really personally. Like, losing, and then someone makes fun of you. We've had that experience in the group chat where it just gets really
gets
heated.
Personal,
so people, and then after a while, you cool down. You're like, okay, I overreacted, or, you know.
You know what? Football doesn't pay our bills.
Yeah, I guess so, yeah. Anyway, that was my thought for the day.
So I have some stats just before we start, soon as everyone is... So I thought I might as well jump in. So the first one you might already know, but these are some stats that you might not believe that are true, but they are. Okay. Man United have never lost a Premier League game at Old Trafford when leading at halftime. That's 301 games. Atletico Madrid kept 20 consecutive clean sheets against Getafe between 2011 and 2021.
Bloody hell, 20.
So they never conceded a goal in 10 years.
Home and away.
Home and away.
That is crazy. That's
them fans should stop going to them games.
That is insane.
This one you might believe or you might have heard. Kingsley Coman has won a league title every year of his career so far across three leagues. That's 10 years.
No way.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Bayern, he played for Juve, PSG, Bayern.
Literally,
so
guaranteed the league.
Yeah. I mean, I could collect the medals.
All right, this one, I couldn't believe it, but do you remember the player Hulk?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Hulk scored 77 goals for Porto, 77 goals for Zenit, 77 goals for Shanghai.
Wait, what? All 77?
Huh?
They're all 77 goals?
Yeah, yeah. At those three clubs, he scored 77 goals.
Is he still at Shanghai?
No, he's where in Brazil. He? He's in Atlético Mineiro.
How many goals scored from Atlético Mineiro?
Well, it's only been his 1 year.
Oh, okay.
And he's much... Oh, he's not going to get 77 goals.
No, but he was top scorer last season with 30 goals.
Close that league off. I hated that player. But yeah, after 77, he's like, I'm done, bro. Contract done, bro.
Okay, Carlos Tevez is the only player to win a league and cup double twice in one season in 2015. He won it with Juventus, and then he went to Boca Juniors. And
he collected 4 medals in 1 year, bro.
Fernando Torres is the only player to score in 7 club competitions in one season for Chelsea in 2013.
Seven. What's
that's
the 7?
Mad. It would have been the Club World Cup, Super Cup,
Community Shield,
and then the 4.
Yeah. Well, 3 of them don't count.
well, according to Abdi.
According to haters.
Yeah.
Community Shield doesn't count. The other two definitely count.
It's because we beat him in the Community Shield.
Like Community Shield is a registered friendly. Actually, is a friendly. The other ones are competitive games. You have to win something to get there.
Yeah, it's true. Mm-hmm. Fair enough. Yeah, but you have to win some or qualify at least second place to get into Community Shield anyway.
If the league leaders win the double,
they go to second place. So why are you looking at me now then?
Just because you said you have to.
Did I lie?
Yeah,
or
you did.
I said or.
No, you didn't.
Alright, cool.
Okay, so anyway, back to our regularly scheduled programming. Our spotlight game, sorry, Tanya, United versus Spurs.
Why is it spotlight? Really?
Also,
it's a game of the week.
Also, it's not just a spotlight on Man United versus Tottenham, it's a spotlight on how shameless Abdi is. Abdi is the most shameless human being on the planet. The man has spent 6 months criticizing Ronaldo, saying that his goat is Messi and that all other goats are fake, and he's been cussing out Tanya for supporting Ronaldo. And then in the group chat on the weekend, I've always loved you, Ronaldo.
Listen, everything I said there was factual, innit? You will notice, I never, at no point did I say Ronaldo.
So it's Ronaldo your goat?
You said my goat.
Watch your mouth.
My goat.
I didn't say goat. I said Sue. I did that. But obviously, like when it comes to Man United and Tottenham, obviously I'm going to choose Man United to win because I hate Tottenham more than anything. And I feel like Tottenham are more dangerous to me because they've got Harry Kane. So Man United, we've got 4 games in hand on them. So that's why I preferred Man United to win. But go on, tell us about the game.
I'll tell about it. I mean, there's not much to say, really. I think, do you know what? If this wasn't such a crucial game in the top 4 race, I wouldn't have minded this game being the result that it was. Because actually, I don't think either team performed great. Like, I don't come out of that game thinking, oh, we should have won. I think we could have played better. But I don't actually think Man United were spectacular. I just think we, again, didn't turn up when we should have turned up. Harry Kane wasn't that great. I thought Son was having a poor game.
Very poor.
Slipped about. I don't know what he was wearing on his feet, but goodness gracious, I don't know.
He was the only one constantly slipping as well.
Constantly, and I don't understand why Kulusevski got taken off. I thought he was our best player. I'm starting with the positives, if you can tell. but I think the first goal, that was just a Ronaldo wonder goal.
There's nothing you can do.
People were saying Dyer could have done more to close in that, but I just think it was a...
He screamed at him from
25
yards.
Was that
nothing? You've got to think the flick from Fred caught everyone out other than Ronaldo. Fred. There was no time to close him down because the flick was so impromptu.
Yeah.
He was just like, right, ball's at my feet. He knew straight away he was shooting. So stop that if you can.
Completely.
Well, that's the thing though. You have to stop him shooting because he can do that.
But then when they scored, I actually thought, okay, we could get something. Because I think at that point we were playing quite well. Mm. And I can't remember if we got the penalty in the first half. First half, which I think we deserved. I think it was a penalty.
Tellez,
I don't know what he was doing with his hand. But
he makes me sick. He must be top 5 dumbest players in the world, bro.
I don't rate him, you know.
You know, him and Reguilon were having a competition. He was stupid.
Reguilon definitely won that one, I can tell you that. I'll get on to him in a minute. But good penalty from Kane, as always. I always trust him to take a penalty. The guy never misses. Mm. So at that point, I thought, okay, Spurs, let's keep going. Who scored the second goal first? Was it Man United? I think it was Man United. Yeah. And again, like...
It was literally right after the pen, innit?
Yeah, literally right after. And that's what I've noticed with us all season. Like, when we take the lead, it's like our heads drop and then we concede straight away.
Well, there's that famous saying, the most dangerous time to concede a goal is just after you scored.
Literally. And that's what we did, which was just so annoying. And it had to be Ronaldo again. And I literally said, as soon as he scored that second, I was like, he's going to get a hat-trick. And then we got our second goal, own goal, Harry Maguire.
Your third top scorer?
Yeah. Oh my God, yeah.
Why do people turn like idiots against
him? Romero must feel like a proper mug now.
Honestly, the minute he did that, I was like, we're losing this game.
When Ronaldo lost him for the header, I was delicious, man. We're so bad at set pieces. I just hate when players, without reason, go in another player's face. Harry Maguire, to be fair, everyone's got a reason to do it because he's just a clown.
It was funny though.
But like, Maguire, he's such a mug for not going up to him and grabbing his crotch.
Not really.
Can we just take a time? Why is that your first?
Yeah, exactly.
I told you, Abdi's a kinky guy.
Abdi is a kinky guy, man said his own in front of Romero and say, yeah, rest in piss, bro. Or something like that. Or suck on this, bro. Yeah.
But honestly, guys, I really don't want to dissect this game. Like, I'm just not bothered.
What I will say about this is the third Ronaldo goal impressed me more than the other two by far. The first goal.
Is that their first one they've scored from set piece?
Second, because you had Maguire the other week.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Out of 150 corners.
It's crazy. Second set piece goal. And what was that? Their 29th game in the league this season.
When
you think of the aerial prowess they've got as well, it's crazy. But yeah, that third goal from Ronaldo for me is the one I respect the most because it was. You're talking about 37 year old, and whether you like it or not, one of the best players to play the game ever.
Abdi,
I didn't deny
one
that.
One of.
No, I know.
And for me, you expect that type of first goal from Ronaldo. We've seen it. You see it every year on year. And it might take him a couple to get his shooting boots on, but he found them against Spurs and then the second goal
he does it all the time, innit?
On a plate from Sancho. It was the third goal
Sancho
for me that
very good, yeah.
You're talking about a 37 year old man who's seen it all, done it all, won it all, done everything you can do in football pretty much other than win the World Cup. He's done it all. And for me, just to see him, it's just the way he got up above everyone, the determination, the grit.
His movement is elite,
this ball is mine. Try and beat me for this, but no one's beating me for this.
And he was off balance as well.
And he was off balance. He had Dyer kind of leaning into him.
Yeah.
He jumped all over Doherty.
And for me, that's the goal out of the three for Ronaldo that I just sat back and said, you know what?
He's an elite finisher. There's no doubt about it. And he's got that capability of winning games for
Ronaldo
on his own.
Since 2011. No, I don't know. I'm not going to. But anyway. Across all the big leagues in Europe, Ronaldo has the most headed goals out of anyone.
You're joking me.
Yeah, 404 goals, 63 of them are headers. The next one down is 44, and that's Lewandowski.
Damn, he's incredible.
And you have to think that the majority, I think it was 2009 was the stat, but anyway, the majority of the time, especially in Madrid, he started out as a winger, like a wide forward, so he wasn't even playing centrally. To be able to get those headed goals.
Well, think about that Ronaldo at United the first time around. Young Ronaldo, quick, pacey, skillful. You would have never back then, and we're talking, which is crazy to think, we're talking 15, 20 years ago, but you would have never have thought that at 37 years old, you'd come back to the Prem.
800 goals
and still be.
That's why he's my goal.
You would never have thought that left winger, the guy who played on the wing for United, came over from Sporting looking super young.
He's never doing that.
You would never think that he would be arguably, well, it's not even arguable. He's the best in the world at getting himself up for a header. Definitely as an attacker, anyway. And that might not sound like much of a compliment, but at 37 years old, get that spring from your calves and your legs.
Yeah.
To beat everyone in the air and get that much power on the ball is so impressive. Honestly, so impressive. It genuinely is.
He's good,
super
but he's
impressive.
No Shane Long, though, is he?
Jamie Carragher was saying that, like, players, when they get to their, like, 30s and stuff, they lose their pace. But Jamie said, I've never had pace. when I realised that I had to stop playing was I couldn't even jump. I couldn't even contest a header.
It's not always about
it's because Ronaldo is the absolute elite level of athlete.
Don't be giving him his flowers now. At no point did I say,
firstly, I'm much taller than you, so be quiet.
At no point did I,
I'm 6 foot in it. Man, 6 foot five, innit? Like,
all right, continue.
At no point did I ever say Ronaldo is a GOAT. I'm given what he's good at. He's an elite athlete, just as a, even if he wasn't a footballer, he'd be perfect at physical condition. And I think what you said about, you know, looking back on what he was like when he was at Man United first time around, that he made a conscious decision when he went to Real Madrid, and I think Mourinho's got a part of that, said, change your game, bruv. Don't be this, you can't be flipping, I don't know, Saint-Maximin level, like a Zaha of your whole career, bro. And he said he changed his game to be a poacher, a finisher. Like he, and then he became a goal machine. And I think what's kept him at the level is the fact that he's an incredible athlete. He's always going to score goals. I didn't deny that. I just think that with Man United right now, it worked at the weekend, but we've seen it all season. The balance has not been right because you've got one guy who's not contributing at all outside of the box. But obviously this weekend, he's showed he's got ability to do
it. The thing is like Man United have a load of individuals. So like they have individuals who can win any game at any moment. Mm-hmm. The problem is what you just said. They're not a collective. They're just a bunch of individuals who are good at football.
And to be honest, that game, it was an individual that won them that game. Let's be honest. I don't think Man United were that good.
They're not collectively good enough as a team to accommodate for what Ronaldo doesn't give them.
Which is why like it's difficult. When you're that might work in like knockout games, but when you're playing a league where it's 38 games,
it's not sustainable.
It's not sustainable. Yeah, you win the odd game and players turn up in the big games. Like Ronaldo, he scored 2 goals against Arsenal. He scored a hat-trick against Tottenham. And these things happen. Like, we've seen it time and time again. Last season, they beat Man City. Season before, they drew Liverpool or whatever. Whatever the case may be, they always manage to turn up because they're good players. Mm. But it's, again, like, on a marathon, which the league is, they're going to stutter in
certain
places.
It's lovely watching Man United finally win a game when there's no Bruno in it. So no Bruno, no McTominay. Everything's good.
Can I just say something as well on Spurs, right? And this is a criticism of Conte. And I've been wanting to say this for a while now. I'm finding him frustrating when it comes to substitutions. Mm-hmm. I feel like he could have changed it up a lot earlier. I don't know why he took off Kulusevski. I think Son should have come off. And I would have bought on Bergwijn. Mm. I hate to say it, but I would have. Right, or why doesn't he try something different? Why didn't he like put Lucas on the right and then put Kulusevski in a more creative central position, put more centrally? I don't know why he doesn't do that.
I think with the Son and Kane, I think at the top end of the Premier League, let's be honest, in that Spurs team, there are 2 players that can score goals.
Yeah, that's facts, yeah.
And you're going to want to keep them on the pitch. Mm. That's why he keeps Kane and Son on the pitch. Whether Son's thinking up the gaff or not, he's got to stay on the pitch.
But does he, though? I just think if he's not giving us the Son that we all know, right, why should he stay on?
For me, a stinky Son is better than setting up with Kane, Kulusevski, and then just throwing in Lucas or Bergwijn because Son's kind of not up to his usual level. For
Son's been poor for a while, though, hasn't he?
I know, but if you look at his numbers for this season, they're still half decent.
He's still the second top scorer.
Yeah, he's just not in the game. He's not involved.
I mean, that I can agree with. And you obviously watch Spurs more than me, but I just think the reason he keeps... Obviously, we're not going to have this conversation about Kane. You'd never take him off. But the reason he keeps those two on the pitch, Kane and Son, is because they're the only two players in your team who can score a goal. Obviously, Kulusevski's kind of come in and he's definitely looking like he can provide assists constantly and grab the odd goal here and there. But you've got to keep, especially at Old Trafford, you've got to keep the goal scorers on the pitch.
And he looks like a baller as well, Kulusevski.
He does.
I never realised, I mean, obviously I've known this now since he joined, but I never realised he was 19.
No, he's 21.
Or 21. Like around that age bracket anyway, which is crazy.
He never realised he's 19 because he's not.
Yeah, I was going to say, he's not 19.
19. What I actually was me. So, Abdi, nice one. Tanya, you passed. Junior, you weren't quick enough. Brilliant. I was testing people.
We get that.
Yeah, yeah.
We don't get that.
But as well,
the only person who knew there was a test is Mark.
you have to give credit to Fred in that game as well. He actually he was balling out on the ball.
The amount of times he was punching it through the lines was just so, it was ridiculous.
He nutmegged Bentancur.
Yeah, he wasn't. He didn't have.
But I will say he was still on his mindless pressing nonsense. That's why Tottenham were getting space in between the first. Like, Fred, like, yeah, and Tottenham weren't taking advantage. I was gonna say, yeah, Conte. Like, it seems every single criticism of Tottenham is bar Conte.
Yeah,
like,
it's
Conte
true.
Is,
and
we've sort in your last 15 games, yeah, you've won 7 and lost 8. Like, that's ridiculous.
I know, it's and
it
mad.
If it was Mourinho or Nuno, yeah, exactly, then they'd be scoring.
So why do you think that is then?
I don't, well, Conte needs his players. Well, was it I don't know, was it Harry Kane who chose to bring Bentancur and Kulusevski? It was Conte who chose it.
Yeah, but he's only had January, and January is a notoriously difficult transfer.
Yeah, it's true, but still, like, he can't complain about. And the thing is, with Conte, every time Tottenham lose,
he's
moaning about the players.
The players, yeah.
Who does that remind you of? The last manager who did that all the time, blamed everyone else. So he's like,
but he's right though. He's the players, and they haven't been replaced.
Well, I think a manager like Conte, you only see the real, like, his real team in action when he gets a full preseason. I don't think you can judge him and this Spurs team. Obviously, you can judge what you've just said. 8 losses and 7 wins in the last 15 is atrocious, especially for a club like Spurs. But
it's literally win-loss like that in a row. Yeah, and they haven't won 2 games in a row in the last 15.
And when you consider some of those 7 wins have been incredible performances. Yeah. And it's like, how can your performance level go from 100 to 0 to 100 to 0 perfect, game on game? It's crazy.
Perfect explanation, yeah, is beat Man City, lose to Burnley. Beat, smash Leeds, then lose to Middlesbrough.
Drew at Liverpool.
On Monday, they were flipping incredible. They scored 5 goals. And then, again, at the weekend, they're losing again. I know it's Man United.
It's mentality.
But, like, one thing I don't get about Conte is he, after the Man City game, he said, this is the best group of players I've ever worked with.
I know.
And then the next game against Burnley, he's doing podcasts about doing ciphers on people, man.
I think he was talking personality-wise, though. Yeah. There's no way. There's no way he was talking quality-wise. Otherwise,
I mean, that Chelsea team, the Inter Milan team, it's just a lot of quality.
No, but he does need to be, because I would have liked to have seen a change in formation in certain games. But I just think Conte's so set on playing this system because he probably is looking towards the summer and he's thinking, I'm playing this way because this is how I win games.
You've got to think he's won the Prem, he's won the Serie A, he's won everything doing it this way. Yeah. 5 at the back, 3 centre-backs, your middle centre-back steps forward, Dyer steps into the midfield as and when, 2 wing-backs who get high and wide. It's the same.
He's not long.
One last thing, right? Regulon, yeah? Listen.
Regular Don. We called it so many episodes back.
Listen, I'm telling you, that guy's average. He's average. The guy's he's actually allergic to crossing the ball. Do you know how many times he lost the ball in that game?
He reminds me of Moreno.
I was about to say that he's exactly Moreno.
But worse. Like, worse. And that
mate,
is saying
Madrid
something.
Take him back, please.
You would have to pay Madrid. You would have to pay Madrid.
I don't think that buyback clause is being activated.
No, it is. They need to activate it, mate.
They're like, oh, sorry, we lied about that.
Our wing backs are just, oh, Sessegnon, Reguilón, Doherty, Royale.
It's annoying that we haven't seen Emerson.
Sessegnon, I think, is okay. And I think leaving
that
out.
He's injured again, you know that.
I know he's injured. Well, that's why regular Don's playing.
Sorry, but I just can't get
anyway,
regular.
Please, can we move on?
All right, okay. Let me just ask you one question just before we move on.
Come on now. Why torture me?
Do you know why? No, because I want the listeners to understand where you are right now in your journey this season. What is it now for Spurs? What are you expecting to see for the rest of the season? Where do you think you'll finish? Best case scenario and worst case scenario.
Do you know what? This is going to sound really mad. I actually don't want European football.
It probably would be best for you.
I want what Arsenal have had this season. I just don't want any Conference League. I don't want any Champions League. Well, we're definitely not getting that.
You want Champions League.
I want Champions League, but anything else I don't want. I don't care now. I just think if I was Conte, I'd be experimenting maybe with players, give the likes of Bergwijn a chance because I don't know his future's uncertain, play some of the youngsters. I just think there's nothing to play for.
Bergwijn hasn't really had much of a chance since bagging 2 against literally 2 last-minute goals against Leicester.
That's Tielemans and Soyuncu tax.
I know. But he did play. But, and he's come on as a sub main link.
So where do you think Tottenham are going to finish?
7th or 8th.
That's the 7th is Conference League.
7th
is Conference League.
I know, but that's where we'll finish.
I asked her where she wants them to finish. Yeah, that's where she finished.
I think, though, to be fair to the Europa League, I think the Europa League now compared to 5 years ago is held in a completely different esteem.
Not to Abdi.
Not, well, what is held in a high esteem by Abdi.
Good job.
I actually think the Europa League is a lot more respected now than it was 5 years ago. But again, you don't want to be in there over the Champions
League. If Liverpool finish in Europa League spot, it's going to be happy.
What are you on about?
You said you respect the Europa League now.
I said it's held in a higher esteem.
But not by you, though. Isn't
Listen,
it?
Don't start.
No,
Mark.
What you're doing is asking me a question that's just irrelevant.
Okay, this is a weird segue into Liverpool versus Brighton.
If you won the Europa League, would you be happy?
Of course.
What are you talking about? It's literally, winning the Europa League to me is exactly the same as finishing fourth. There's no difference.
Oh, don't be so ridiculous.
If you finish fourth this season, you're going to be sad, yeah?
No, I'll be happy. But Europa League, I don't care about. It's the only thing about the Europa League is getting into the Champions League for me.
So would you rather if you finish fourth or win the Europa League?
Finish fourth.
You're going to take the trophy. I finished 12th and Europa win the Europa League.
I don't want to be watching football on a Thursday, man. I usually have plans on a Thursday, innit?
That's true.
We know. Trust me. We know.
Arsenal to win a European trophy. You finished fourth. How many years?
Yeah, I'll see when we get there. I'm not gonna say,
I'm not drawing you out, but you can't. You are as a club.
The stank on his face.
No,
bro.
I'm saying you can't.
Gun fingers at me as well.
No,
you blood.
How are you turning down? You can't just
obviously, I'm not turning it down. But I'm
you
just saying.
You did say that.
It's the same. I don't care. It's different. It's been in the Champions League.
No, you take the Europa.
Europa League is a secondary trophy. It's like being happy about just.
I can't believe what you're saying.
What do you mean?
I'd say Europa League
is
an equivalent
to FA Cup. You're different.
Don't,
as an adult, you've never seen your team win a trophy.
Keep Spurs out of it. I just cannot believe you're saying Europa League is a secondary trophy.
It's a trophy. What do you mean? Is it a first degree? Well, I don't know. What do you call it? Primary.
Primary. First degree. Lock this whole thing off. Close it off now. Finish it.
Let's just mute his mic.
Finish it off.
I would probably put it Premier League number one, Champions League number two, then you're
taking a piss. The FA Cup is much better than the Europa League.
I'd rather Europa League.
I think it's if they remove Champions League qualification, I guarantee none of you will care about the Europa League.
Huh? No, that's
if you didn't get
you're just making stuff up to fit your
no one cared,
but my whole point originally was that from now to 5 years ago, the competition is completely different. It's held in a different esteem.
I think the UEFA Cup was more prestigious.
It's the same.
It's not, well, now it's called the Europa League. You play group. If it was on straight knockout, then it'd be more fun. But then you have to play group games against, I don't know, Dark Side of the Moon.
If,
FC,
if bro. In 10 years' time Arsenal win this Europa League, yeah, I'm going to see you.
If in 10 years' time Arsenal win the Europa League, yeah, I would have stopped supporting the club.
Wait, who did you play Atletico in the semis recently? Yeah. No, a couple of years ago.
Last year we played Villarreal. The year before that.
So what are you saying? You was hoping to lose that game, yeah?
No. Obviously, when you're there, you want to win, innit? I'm not going to ever hope we win and lose a game, innit, bro? You know what I'm saying, bro. So stop being obtuse.
You know what? Actually, hold on. Where is it? Clapping. I can't lie. Let's end that one there. Man called me obtuse. Yeah, I'm actually happy to move on.
Can I just say I've never felt more patronized in my life?
No, man just called me obtuse. I actually respect it.
All right, okay. Now we spent a long time and we're on game two.
I'm literally trying to move on.
Mate. All right, give us a summary of Liverpool Brighton.
Luis Diaz.
Okay, cool. Moving on. Nice.
Flipping.
That's my two-word summary. That's my two-word summary.
He's a flipping.
No, what I will say. Because I just realised we're 52 minutes in. He's scary. He's an animal. Thank you for the adjectives. You're correct.
Objectives.
Listen, I was trying to get away with that
fair
one.
Enough,
man.
Fair enough.
Allow me.
I heard it, but I just let it go.
There's nothing abject about him, bro.
adjectives. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Abdi. But yeah, super important win, particularly after the result last night. That's 8 wins in the league for us on the trot now. That's 5 losses in the league for Brighton on the trot now.
Yep.
So very contrasting fortunes for
both
teams.
The last time they lost 5 in a row, they were in league, but 18th in league
and
one.
And guess who
they've
got next?
Crazy Spurs.
On Wednesday.
Gonna get their wins.
Tans, you can't. But the thing is that Brighton, they still played decent football. And they're not all of a sudden a bad team. No. They've just been quite unlucky.
They just create so much.
They just can't score.
They've got Noah. Can I just say, I've joined, I have officially, actually shake my hand.
Mm-hmm.
Shake my hand. I can't do it with you, Tanya, because this is strictly at the moment like an Arsenal
is this about thing.
No, this is about more pay. I've joined. I'm a hater.
Yeah.
I'm a big hater. He charged me so much.
He was trying to fight everyone.
Yeah. I just thought, bro.
And there was a foul in the second half, and the referee called it a foul, and he just comes out laughing. He knows what he did.
He was I'm an official member.
At one point, he was on the ground, yeah, swearing at Van Dijk, and Van Dijk is offering to help him up. Yeah. I'm like, Van Dijk, kick him in the face, man.
So he knows what he's doing.
I'm a member. What I will say is that it was the perfect result. Two goals, clean sheet. We take the 3 points and we move on. But not too much energy was exerted. I mean, there was a game to be played, and we played the game.
But you have to talk about the worst VAR decision.
I was just about to get to that.
That is, honestly, that is not out of place in the UFC.
They didn't even book him.
Well, I was going to say, they tried to take out Diaz. They managed to injure Salah, yeah.
No, but I mean, like, I don't know if you guys watch UFC, but I've seen Jorge Masvidal do that to Ben Askren in the first second, yeah? That's what Sanchez did to Diaz, and he could have killed him, bro.
I truly think, and this goes to show the state of affairs in PMGOL or whatever they call themselves, whatever acronym they use. But for me, I honestly think if Diaz got to that ball and missed, and we're talking the exact same scenario, but the ball didn't end up in the back of the net, I honestly think they would have sent off Sanchez and given a pen. Yeah. And it's like,
it's so stupid.
I don't understand. I can't comprehend.
Do you know what happened? Similar thing happened when Van Dijk got injured last year, didn't he?
Yeah.
Because the ball was technically out. It didn't result in a goal, but he was out of play.
And it was still kind of in play as the challenge was being made.
But I think it was an offside or something like that. So they said they basically didn't count it as an action within the game. But if you punch someone while the play's out, when the ball's out of play, you're still going to get a red card. So what's the difference? It's like,
exactly. I mean, I was as baffled as the commentators were. They were so baffled that the card hadn't, and then they realised that they were actually holding. There was no yellow card.
That's crazy. Yeah.
But listen, we made sure that that wasn't a talking point, which is one of the things I love about this team, is that we always find a way to get the job done. And quite often it's, you know, we got to grind out and see the result out. And quite often it's different ways that we do it. So that's one thing that I love about this team is the way we can win a multitude of games. No matter which direction the game's going in, we'll find a way to win it.
Is that 8 wins in a row now?
In the league, 8 wins in a row.
You know what? I know we're going to talk about a title race, but I've changed my mind.
Again?
No, listen.
So it's not Everton anymore?
No. It was never Everton, thank you.
It'll be difficult from now on.
I think Liverpool are going to do it. I think you're going to beat Man City when you play them, right? Obviously, Man City, we know they drew. For me, Liverpool are in very good stead right now.
We are
very comfortable, confident.
They have to face Arsenal on Wednesday.
I can't call it at all.
What I will say is that you look at the respective run-ins. Ours is 1,000% without a shadow of a doubt doubly as hard in terms of where we've got to go and the teams we've got to play. We've got Arsenal away. We've got United. We've got Spurs. We've got City. And City only have at this point us.
And Wolves.
And Wolves away and West Ham away towards the end of the season.
I mean, yeah, you're not going to win all of them. I don't know, but.
Well, I think to me, we need. We'll probably chat about this game next week, but we have to win tomorrow night. We have to, without a shadow of a doubt, win tomorrow night against Arsenal at the Emirates. And it's not going to be an easy game. This is probably the best form you've been in since we've started this podcast.
Yeah, maybe.
You and
City,
best informed team in the league.
Yeah.
One of.
Well, not City. They've lost one and drawn one in their last five.
We're tied with Liverpool.
And also, Liverpool won their last 8 in a row. So.
Arsenal will be tricky.
Arsenal will be tricky. Then, I mean, that for me, it's one hurdle at a time. There's no like.
Yeah, that's the way looking I'm looking forward. At
and Jamie Carragher said. Mentioned something yesterday on Monday Night Football after the game is that I think we've got so we've got Arsenal, then we've got whoever, then we've got City, Arsenal, then Watford, then City, then Villa away. Yeah, we've got an FA Cup game in the middle of that somewhere. And
so
then
you don't think
after
the weekend's game? I think you'll win all of those games.
No, not this weekend. Who have we got at the weekend?
No, because
FA Cup fixtures is this weekend.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say.
Yeah. So that's what I said. FA Cup in the middle of those fixtures, but after a 4 or 5 Premier League fixtures from now, and that includes the game at the Etihad, that's when I think you can start to determine where you think it's going to go. But for me,
I see you maybe dropping points though.
It's not about
City, that's what I'm saying, the City, but I think Arsenal you'll beat them.
No, I'm talking what about you look at City's games on paper, and you kind of went down the list and said, right, expect them to beat them. I expect City to win, apart from the game with Liverpool, which I'm not going to call. I expect them to win every other game they play this season in the league.
It's not about the difficulty of games, it's just the fact that it's crunch time now, isn't it? And Liverpool are still in every other competition that's still available.
Listen, so when we were neck and neck, 18-19, they won their last 14, 15 or 16. They're in the league. Every single one of them they won, and we finished behind them by a point. So
neither team can afford to drop points.
Exactly.
But I do think she's right. I do think it will be decided by in that game.
Yeah, I think that's the decider.
If Liverpool go there and win, then you go automatically. You are favourites now, innit? If Man City, and then they there's the gap. That's a 6 point, obviously. And then it looks like Man City are going to win it.
It would be four. Because of the draw last night. If they did win.
But I'm taking into account that we're going to beat you tomorrow, innit? So.
Well, you better beat them the way you're going on.
All right, what's the next game?
I don't know why there was a
silence. No, it will be a good game tomorrow. Though. I'm expecting, honestly, I don't
Who's
say this.
Home?
I don't say, Arsenal. I don't say this lightly, but I'm expecting one of our biggest tests this season. And I mean more so, I'm going to be honest with you guys. And I never said it out loud, but I was quietly very confident when we drew you in the Carabao Cup.
Yeah.
Because you weren't necessarily playing very well. I was pretty confident, but my whole attitude's different now. You've got Laka there, who you'd probably replace if you could in the summer. Mm-hmm. But it's the three behind him, and then that pivot of Xhaka and Partey, and then everything just seems to be working well. Mm-hmm. There's energy. Your pressing game has gone up a whole level.
Yeah.
And in this new kind of modern era of football, if you don't have that pressing game on lock, you get left behind.
I'm just scared. You get left behind. Luis Diaz running at Cedric.
But do you guys really care about that game? Mm.
Yes, we do. Of course we do care.
You look at him and you see.
No, but listen. Obviously, it's like a free shot. Like
it's not a free shot. It's not a free shot.
No, I think it is.
It's not a free shot.
I think free shot is an easy way of getting out of. No game is a free shot.
No.
Because if you finish outside of the top four by one point, are you going to look back and say, those doesn't matter because four of those games were free shots?
We played Liverpool twice this season.
No. What I mean by free shot is, like, what I'm saying is the expectation is that we're not going to beat Liverpool. Okay? Liverpool are clear favourites. Let's be honest. Yeah? Liverpool are clear favourites.
Yeah.
You just said they'll beat the Arsenal easily. What are you talking about? So I think, the expectation is not to beat Liverpool, but if we were to get a draw or thing, to me, that's like a free shot. Like, oh my days, we actually got 3 points that we weren't expecting. That's what I mean. So if we were to lose, it's expected that we're going
to
lose.
Free shot to me just sounds like
I'm giving up.
Having a Waterloo or away at Anfield. It's like we're Arsenal, at the end of the day. We want to be a Champions League squad.
Yeah,
and let's not forget, we're good at home, man. And we gave Man City a game which it was unjust that we didn't get a point. So I feel like we should go into the game we should expect at least a result. We should expect that because we want to be in the Champions League. That. But no, we should.
I'm just asking.
Yeah, we should expect
it. I think at the bare minimum, no, forget talking about points and stuff. At a bare minimum, you should expect your players to perform and stand tall
and try and win the game.
At the bare minimum.
But even so, I've seen it. Like, for example, you just brought up the Man City game. Obviously, there was extenuating circumstances. We conceded a penalty and Gabriel got sent off. I just think that Liverpool are better than us.
That's not an opinion. It's a fact. I say this as someone.
That's true.
We all know it's a fact. That's why I'm saying, as a mark of your progress, the very least you want from that game as an Arsenal fan is to see Arsenal stand toe to toe and not be afraid.
Oh, absolutely.
That's play your football. Press us how you pressed, true. For example,
Leicester.
And actually come out toe to toe and really have it. Don't come out and sit back.
I agree.
Come out and play and kind of work to your strengths. Everything that's been working for you over the past 6 weeks, as an Arsenal fan, I would expect to see that against Liverpool. No more hiding.
Time
for hiding's done.
Exactly.
You're talking about a club who's, in my opinion, 90% sure to be playing Champions League football next season. So if you're scared of playing Liverpool, don't be in the Champions League next season.
No, but it's not about being scared to play Liverpool. I think. I agree with what you said. I want my team to go there, give a performance. But what I'm saying is, like, the expectation isn't there for a win.
I completely agree with you.
So for example, like...
I think what you're trying to say is, if we lose, then it's not the end of the world.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
And I think the stakes are higher for us than they are for you, because you've got a bit of a buffer.
Which is why we need
the point.
Which is why I use the expression of free shot. It's not necessarily that I want to go there and just, gung-ho on Liverpool. Like, if we get battered 6-0, it doesn't matter. I know, I want to see a good performance. But I'm saying, if we get 3 points, if we get 1 point, I'll be over the moon because it's 3 or 1 point that I wasn't expecting at the beginning of the
game. What I'm saying, yeah, is when Cedric turned Diaz into Almiron.
I'm glad you said this here instead of in the chat because there's receipts now.
So Brentford, there's receipts in the chat. So Brentford beat Burnley 2-0.
My boy Tony, oh, he looks so hot now. With
He's been on fire recently. He scored a hat trick last week.
5 goals in the last 2 games.
Can we just talk about Eriksen?
Oh, he's amazing to see him back. He's so good, bro.
For Denmark team.
Yeah. He's amazing. He's got that quality, man. That delivery, like, he's got that in his locker. And Brentford, let's just say Brentford are very lucky to have him. Honestly, if they didn't have a Danish manager, he'd be nowhere near Brentford.
When I think of Eriksen, I just think of Pep when he's like, "We've got to replace him." We still haven't replaced him. What a player, man.
Pep.
Yeah, when he
Pep cried about Aguero.
Should have played him when you had him.
Like, where's my 100 mil? Where's Grealish?
These last two games, obviously they played Norwich and Burnley, which are relegation rivals, were massive. Because if they lose those two games, I think it's curtains for Brentford.
Those two wins are massive for them, like you just said. But like, if they had lost them, I thought it would have been curtains for them. But now
Abdi, you, what's going on here?
Did I just say the same thing?
Bro,
you know when Homer Simpson's playing the that's what's going on in your head right now. You literally just repeated the sentence.
Shout back into the bush, I think.
Bro, literally word for word, you said what I said.
All right, my bad. Sorry.
What I
should have said was, now it looks like they've saved themselves. They look like they're
They're still 9. I think Brentford have played 29. They've still got 9 cup finals to go.
Yeah.
No one.
They've only got 8 games left.
8 games left from Brentford and below. No one's safe. Yeah. No one, including Brentford.
They play way more games than everyone else as well down there. Like Burnley.
No one's safe. We're talking about a Brentford team who, let's be honest, could lose any game they play against any team in this league. So, Brentford have to be very careful. They've collected a couple of points recently, which has been perfect for them, but they can't rest now.
But before these last two games, I was like, I can't see where the next point will come from because they're playing so poorly. I wasn't really a big fan of the way they were playing as well, like especially when they came to the Emirates and I watched them against Man United and I watched how they capitulated. And I know they got a great atmosphere at home, which is sort of going to help them win points. I feel like definitely next season we're going to see a very, very difficult season for Brentford. I can just definitely see it.
Leicester, then Chelsea, then West Ham, then Watford, then Spurs, and then Man United.
That Watford game will be massive.
Tough. I hope they stay up. I'd like them to stay up.
It's really impressive that they won these last two games because if they hadn't, I think they'd be in real, real trouble. Like Everton level of trouble.
Should we just discuss the whole relegation order together?
Everton lost to Wolves and Leeds last minute win against Norwich and Watford won away at Southampton.
Everton are a flipping disgrace. I had a bit of sympathy thinking, all right, cool, this is a big club that's going to go down. But I just looked at the business they've done over the last five, six years, and the sheer amount of money this owner, Moshiri, since he came in 2016, the amount of money he's wasted is ridiculous. 50 million on Richarlison, 50 million on Sigurdsson, and who knows, Sigurdsson.
There was a window where they needed a striker, and I think they brought in 3 10s, Rooney, Sigurdsson, was it Davy Klaassen?
Yeah, Davy Klaassen.
Where's the strategy?
It won't be for 40 million. Yeah. Flipping.
Tosin, was his name?
He
was terrible.
Bamin, who barely played a single game for them, now he's out on loan somewhere.
You guess he's gone.
Hammers, it's ridiculous. The money, Fabian Delph, Pickford, Michael Keane, all of these, Mina, all of these rubbish players.
I want them to get relegated. Because of what Godfrey did to Tomiyasu. I'm shameless in that aspect.
And because I hate Frank Lampard, the little cocky bugger after that game.
And have you seen their fixtures now?
I honestly think they're gone.
It is absolutely hellish, bro. Like they've
got
finished.
One good fixture. Yeah. Or two in their final.
They're going to have to pull out something, otherwise they are down.
This is Everton from like the beginning of the Premier League. Like Everton were this kind of club who was always like just floating above relegation, and they've gone back to their roots. And hopefully,
I've got no sympathy. Like their defense is shambolic. Why have you not addressed that?
It's a Championship defense, and I've been saying it from the first minute
with a Championship level manager. That's being kind.
That's true. Yeah,
very kind.
We got Mina. You got
Keane.
Michael.
The guy got sent off. Kenny. John Joe Kenny. He's not even professional level for me. Seamus Coleman is so washed. He's so past. Like, he was playing back when Moyes was manager. Like, he did the team for like 5 years when Moyes was manager. And then you've got flipping Michael Keane. What a waste of money. That's like throwing money at 30 million in the bin, bro.
And they were playing Godfrey at right back.
It's just, and that's why I want them to go down, because it's a lesson for wasting your money. Because Everton spent lots of money.
I'm pretty sure Leeds already had that lesson.
If they do go down, I'm calling it, you're getting Calvert-Lewin.
No,
Arsenal. Because players like him, I'm not gonna go.
Can I just quickly talk about Arsenal and the expectations now? Yeah, if we get into the Champions League, yeah, players like Calvert-Lewin, I feel like they're below us now.
Yeah, I know, because Calvert-Lewin's not a good player. I think
that's a valid statement, but I think you have to qualify for the Champions
League.
Two or three times in a row before you can start turning.
I'm saying the Haaland deal was done already.
Yeah, what numbers are you wearing?
I was at his medical.
Back to relegation. So, massive game. Leeds versus Norwich.
Oh, just quickly, Wolves. What a goal. What a quality cross by Ruben Neves. It's the same goal. We're just talking about that game.
Everton, to be fair. Yeah.
Ruben Neves, what a cross. And
Connor Cody, I don't think he will enjoy a goal like that.
Oh, he loved it.
At any point in his career.
Man was beating his chest.
Putting a nail in that coffin.
He's like, I rarely score. Now I'm scoring against Everton. Love it.
So massive game. Massive for Leeds. I think
they're
there's
finished,
no point
man.
Talking about them.
Norwich, they should be like Chelsea. Shouldn't be able to fulfil their fixtures. And they should definitely be banned for next season.
Yeah, no more of this yo-yo.
Are you know Lambert? Is it Lambert? What's his name?
Dean Smith.
Yeah, you know Dean Smith's gonna bring him back.
Yeah. That's a Lambert. Lambert was their manager over 10 years ago.
Yeah, fair enough. But massive result for Leeds. Like, think about it, yeah? How many times did Rafinha hit the woodwork?
And then Norwich
going equalise in the 91st minute. Do you hear their fans cockily singing, you're not singing anymore? Yeah, and then Rafinha rounds the goalkeeper.
Can I just say, some absolute of the worst scenes when that went in.
Yeah.
Limbs, innit?
Boy, limbs. Mm. Limbs at Elland Road. I thought that was very, very composed from Rafinha as well to take it around the keeper
and then square it.
Realise the angle's off.
Gelhardt had just come on as well, innit?
Yeah.
Mm. I tried to write Gelhardt in on autocorrect. It came out to like Helsinki.
Celebration police came out again and said that Leeds celebrated too hard. And when I say that, I don't mean Tanya.
Wait, who said that?
Just celebration.
Yeah, you are the celebration police. Isn't it? Yeah.
Celebration police. Your colleagues. People
who complain about, obviously they're down the bottom fighting for their lives. Of course they should celebrate.
And 95th minute.
Exactly. Regardless, if it's the first game of the season, you score in the last minute, players should go mad. And I like to see that as well. We like to see that. Yeah,
absolutely, that's football, bro. That's passion.
If none of your players, is every single game going to be like celebrating like a pre-season fixture? Like, you want to see your players.
People just want fans to be like golf. You just clap. And then Watford got 3 points that maybe they weren't expecting away from home. At least their challengers might have not expected them to win at Southampton.
Cucho has scored 4 goals in 3 games, even though one of them was an own goal.
But let's talk about the bonehead move from Salisu and Fraser. Did you see that?
Yeah, he wasn't what he was. They were trying to concede.
So what happened is, they're playing out from the back. So the ball's gone out to Salisu, and he's tapped it lightly. The goalkeeper goes to go for it, and he stops. And then Cucho Hernandez gets the ball, runs the keeper, and puts it in. Like, it's comedic.
Just before Salisu misplaced it, Bedirek was trying to give away a goal. he tried to misplace the pass 3 or 4 times.
Like,
he just
the three of them were just desperately trying for Watford to score.
What's going on? Because Southampton, they were on the mountain, such a run of form. Yeah. But we're talking, they were beating teams that you wouldn't necessarily say they should beat. And now they're losing to teams that on paper you'd say you should be beating them.
So they lost 4-0 to Aston Villa. They lost to Newcastle.
Maybe not the Villa one, but you'd expect them to give Villa a stiffer test at home.
Shade, they should be beating Newcastle and Watford at home, especially Watford.
100%.
But I don't know.
Like, Newcastle on a good run of form, so I think we'll give them that one.
Southampton.
I do think the thing with Southampton, they rarely change their team. It's straight 4-4-2, and the only players they really change is sometimes they bring in their left back Pero and they move Carl Walker Peters out to right back. In this game, I've noticed that Livramento and Broho are both on the bench, and I think they both should be guaranteed starters because they're very good players.
Well, Broho, to be brutally honest, past like 4 or 5 games, he's actually been stinking it up. He's had a really good season, but I think he deserved it. He came on at half time, obviously. He kind of realised, right, I've got to get my shooter on.
Don't they have FA Cup as well?
They got Man City.
Yeah, so I think.
Oh, God.
I think they're all right.
Mark fist pumps there. He's like, come on.
But yeah, I think they were saving players because they don't have a big squad.
That's the thing. They played straight 4-4-2, the same four players in midfield.
And they're saving
Armstrong,
the Premier League.
Armstrong, Ward-Prowse, so. Romeo, Elyounoussi, and they always play like that. But I don't know. In this game, for some reason, they played that small bone kid. I don't know what's happened to Adam Armstrong. Is he just not being picked at all? I get Che Adams has to start, but if Broho's not going to play, then you play Adam Armstrong. I don't get it. Anyway.
Well, so we missed over Chelsea versus Newcastle.
Oh, Newcastle and robbed.
Yeah, man. Newcastle had a penalty.
So robbed.
Stone and Cavett should have been sent off as well.
Honestly, I can't. But that penalty in particular.
What is the justification? I don't get it.
What is the justification?
There isn't. It went to VAR. Liverpool, Brighton. It all went to VAR. They all had a look. And I don't understand how.
It's but bad enough
come
that
to
the referee
missed
it.
That it's like, not a pen. I know it's
bad enough that even the Chelsea players were like, "Oh, come on, you have to give that, man."
I don't know.
It's like it would be less obvious if Chalobah stopped and picked up the ball with his hand in the penalty box. Like that is the there's no justification. You can't say, "Oh, is it coming together?" He hacked at his foot and he pulled his shirt.
He held his shirt for 3-4 seconds. Didn't let go.
It's a joke.
Didn't touch the ball.
But having said that
what a finish!
What a fantastic goal! Jorginho's ball is amazing.
Great ball,
but
great
the
finish.
Run. Havertz makes some good runs.
The touch
is crazy, and the very finish good. Is just like so silky.
So
you can see his quality as well.
Do they need to sign striker? Play Havertz up there?
Well.
They get Brozier.
No, I'm sorry. They can't just sign a striker for 100 million.
They don't like him.
Just be signing a striker every summer until it works.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
but you're forgetting.
I hate that mentality. I hate that style of business in football.
So much that you can throw stuff to Mike. Lukaku's going to sign for the Lakers, though. You forgot.
I just meant play Havertz up there. Like, solution.
Yeah.
Oh, they got Broha coming back as well.
They can interchange the two.
They won't be able to sign anyone anyway.
Because Werner can't score, and Lukaku, I don't know what his deal is, but Havertz and Broho would make or Brojo, whatever.
Lukaku's just there for the vibes.
They just put 100 mil for Lukaku. They ain't signing a striker in the summer, regardless of what the situation is. They can't.
So then it's the manager then.
How much do they get back for him as well? Because I don't see them making any more than 65-70 million.
Striker. That's a lot.
I think they will.
Well, considering they signed him for 100 million.
Six goals, or something like that.
I know, but
it's 10 million.
You're not signing the goals. You're signing he's a quality player. You're signing the player. It's just for me that his stint in the Premier League is done.
But who's gonna fork out that kind of money?
No one. But do you see Chelsea letting him go for 30-40 million? They just bought him for 100 million.
I reckon a team like Atleti will get him.
Would you sell Pepe for 20 million? Take a 50 million hit.
20 million.
Sometimes you got to take the hit.
20 million is 15 million too much. For him, so bite your hand off for that, yeah. Came on at the weekend, just ruined my mood, bro.
Hold on, what happened to the whole like the guy who was near you
if he scores a winner tomorrow, bro, I'm getting a Pepe shirt, and it will be number 72 for the amount of money he cost.
Anyway, quality finish from Havertz.
What a goal from Bruno midweek though, the back heel volley.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Oh, what a back flick, innit, bro?
Yeah, he's just starting to get into his stride now. I think he started the last three.
Apparently he was very good against Chelsea as well. I didn't watch it though.
Yeah, he was. It was good.
Yeah, I didn't
really
watch it either. Villa lost to West Ham.
West Ham, I have to give it to them.
Came off the back of 3 defeats, isn't it? So.
But they're still in there. Like
no, they're still in there though.
Yeah, but they're like Man United. Are they level points to Man United?
There's a long way to go this season. You started your season with 3 defeats.
Yeah, that's true.
There's points to be. How many? 9 games left. 27 points up for grabs.
That's true. They've played way more games than Arsenal and Tottenham as well.
Yeah. Like I said, I've come to the conclusion in my own mind that fourth spot is Arsenal's. But
yeah.
I don't think it's done yet.
Yeah, it's definitely not done.
We've
got 12 games to go, and I'm
exactly
pissing myself every game.
36 points that we have to make the most of.
It was emotional for Yarmolenko, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a quality goal though. Lovely touch outside of the boot finish. I honestly thought when he was younger, Young Yonko was like one of the hottest rated players, especially NA. He's a top scorer for his country as well. No? So, but since he's been at West Ham, he's been nothing short than a sham. I remember that cameo he came on against Man City. Shambles.
Oh.
And the cameo against Man City last year, where he literally was just in danger of affecting the result, you know,
but
how badly
he did have that cameo against Chelsea where he scored the winner.
Yeah, I mean, that was a couple seasons ago. But this goal, like, quality, like, he showed his quality. I get why he doesn't start, because the two wingers they have work much harder than him. But first touch, perfect, outside of the boot finish. So, yeah, it was quite a nice moment as well. But Villa, they've been in a great run of results as well. So, apparently, if Villa had won this game, they would have won four games in a row for the first time in, like, since Martin O'Neill was in charge.
No way.
Yeah, and that was like 2010-ish. Yeah.
I think I think they just won three in a row and kept three clean sheets. So that was the first time since Martin O'Neill was in charge that happened. So yeah, four in a row would have been
amazing.
They got Arsenal at the weekend.
You see Callum Chambers' goal against
Arsenal at the weekend. That's an interesting
game. Chambers' goal against Leeds.
Yeah, what a finish.
It's got that in
what
his locker, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the week before he did that pass to Coutinho as well. So. But yeah, they do, Mark. They do.
Where is it?
Villa Park.
That would be a good.
See, this
game.
Is why this week has been hellish, man. Yeah.
That 3 points you picked up against Leicester was
massive.
Have we even spoke about?
No, it's next.
That was. Bro, there you go. That was massive, though.
Perfect segue.
So Arsenal beat Leicester.
Me and Junior out of the game. Yeah, can I just quickly talk about Junior? Yeah.
Me.
Junior, he sits next to a bunch of, like, all of these old boys, geezers. He's a proper geezer, goes around the football with all these Barry and Steve and all them mates. Yeah?
Barry and Steve!
The guy next to me is called Steve.
Steve, yeah. He was, the guy came down and he was like, "All right, Junior, how you doing, mate?" All of these guys, yeah, lads, yeah. All these old lads who'd been to Highbury back in the day. Oh, I used to go down there with my dad and all that, yeah. This guy was eating a pie as he came down.
I didn't know that Arsenal was in East London. I thought it was a North London thing.
Whatever. And at the end of the game, I came down to see Junior. I was an uppity. I came down to see Junior. I was like, "Oh, he's about
a kiss."
No.
Have you got a little
from
kiss?
Steve? Yeah.
Can I give context
from
first? Barry. Yeah. So there's a really old guy. There's a really old guy sitting next to Junior. He came past and then he goes, "Oh, he's really excited about the result." Yeah, and then he bumped Junior with his elbow just quickly, and then he walked past to me for no reason. Yeah, he rubbed both his hands on my cheeks.
You was loving it.
I was like, "Don't touch me, man!"
You sound mad astonished.
And then his nephew came and gave him a little kiss.
No. First, he gave Junior a hug. Yeah, he gave Junior a hug as he was walking past, and then he walked past me. Yeah, and then for no reason, he gives me a hug. He never met me. He never seen me before. I've only been to 3 games this season, and then he went to give me a hug and gave me a kiss on the cheek, and I was just like, "I feel violated. I'm not coming down here again, bro."
Addy blushed. Addy was like,
"Yeah, secretly, he's loving it."
No.
He was like, "Junior, can I sit here?
Why is he?" I was like, "Is this what happens down here?" So when Arsenal scored, they must be lipsing down there, isn't it? So, and where I was sitting in the upper tier, none of that was going on. But two guys here, the first time I come down where Junior's sitting, man are rubbing me and kissing me. So what goes on when Arsenal score, bro? He must be a flipping orgy down there, bro. So it's like,
see, this is what happens when you poke Abdi, yeah? Oh. When you say the truth, and that he got excited because man kissed him, yeah?
I didn't get excited, bro. What about what?
He has to choose violence.
Why are you getting defensive?
Me and Junior are walking up. Stop that, man. Turn it off. Me and Junior walking up the ground, and I'll moan. I was like, "Why do you have to kiss me, bro? Like, you don't have to kiss me. Just hug me and just walk away, bro."
Addy's holding it.
Nah,
Addy did love it. He was like, "Oh, thank you." Bye.
But just on the game,
I know you slipped in your number while Junior wasn't looking.
You like a mug, isn't it? That you're so disgusting.
Go on.
Talking about disgusting, I moan about this all the time. But I imagine, the hygiene level at the Emirates is probably not as bad as somewhere like, I don't know, Doncaster Rovers, So, but just coming out of I just think it's so disgusting the way people are when they're in the toilet, going there with their beers, pissing, and then it's almost as if there's no sink. So walk straight out, have washed your hands. I'm in there judging people. I'm like, "I hope I'm not sitting next to you, man." But on the game.
Yeah, because I was about to say there was a game.
I'm genuinely really enjoying us watching us play football. That was one of the most enjoyable times I've had at Arsenal at the moment. Like, I'm really enjoying the vibrancy within the team, the maturity within, like, the way we controlled the game. Leicester were very poor, like, just as a team.
They just
look like a shamble. I get that he probably rested some players. He doesn't have his, like, if you look at who he's missing, there's no There's no Vardy. Johnny Evans. There's no Fofana. There's Ndidi was on the bench. Tielemans, but that's more of a selection thing. Vardy obviously is not there. And then, yeah, he played a much different team, which sort of like he's looking towards, I think, the Europa Conference League game tomorrow. Tomorrow when you listen to this. Yeah. So, but from our perspective, some top performances. Firstly, Tierney. Tierney's been getting a bit of criticism recently because he hasn't been as effective as he has been, like, for example, last season. But he was fantastic at the weekend. Really shut down. He was on the right hand side. Well, it was just all Brighton in it, but still, like, he played very well. One of the best games I've seen Partey play. He has been fantastic, but he was so in control in that middle. Every time Maddison got the ball, he got hounded by Xhaka and Partey. The way he takes the ball off the back four and plays the ball through the lines, it was similar to Fred, although at a higher level and just a better human being. And then the star of the show, the guy who literally got me off my feet the whole game, was Odegaard. He was just incredible. Like, the guy, he's just... And what you notice as well when you're at the game is you see how much he's like the director of the play. He literally runs the whole thing. He's telling people where to go. When Ramsdale Turner taking a free kick, he's literally directing everyone to go to one side of the pitch. I wouldn't be surprised if he gives him the armband next season, because he seems like he's a bit of a leader.
He might be his country, doesn't he?
Yeah.
But it might be Tierney. It'll probably be Tierney as well. Every time Lacazette comes off, he gives it to Tierney.
But yeah, I'm still very, very shook about this Champions League race, you know. Although, like, everyone's saying Arsenal were the favourites right now, and it will be a massive cock up if we don't get top four now.
I think that's the thing now.
But
yeah,
it's very, I'm very scared because, like I mentioned last week, we've got hellish fixtures as well, man. Like, we've got to play all of the other teams in the top four race. West Ham, we've got them away. We've got Tottenham away. We've got Man United at home. We've got Chelsea away. We've got Liverpool tomorrow. And then we've got teams like Southampton away, Palace away, Aston Villa away, Newcastle away.
Everton at home.
But Everton at home and Brighton at home right now, they look like easy fixtures, isn't it?
They're the only two easy fixtures.
Yeah, and there's one other team we're playing, but I can't remember because we've got 12 games left and I named 11 games. So I don't know who we've got.
Yeah, but you've got Chelsea at the Bridge, right?
Yeah, we've got Chelsea at the Bridge and West Ham at their stadium, and we've got Tottenham away as well. So this is very hard fixtures
Villa,
as well.
Obviously on Saturday.
Yeah, so like, but then, like I said, I'm confident in the team because we're playing very well. Like, the football has been fantastic recently, and those passages of play in that game against Leicester was just literally incredible to watch. So I very, very much have to give a lot of credit to Arteta, the tactical switch we've had pretty much from the turn of the year, where we're playing 2-8s ahead of Partey and Xhaka's playing higher up. But I just look at the team and I think if we get to the Champions League, there's certain players in the team we're so easily upgradable. Like, if we can get upgrade for Xhaka and get upgrade for Lacazette, the team looks so
true.
Much.
Yeah,
but for me, it's not about getting rid of those players and upgrading. It's actually about keeping them and adding to that.
Your squad
currently is way too thin to challenge on. I'm not saying you're going to challenge on all four fronts next season, but everyone starts the. If you're in Europe, you start the season in four competitions, and I mean, look at your squad now. It's fine because all you've got is the Prem. That's a game a week.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, for me, it's about adding to what you've already got in this summer transfer window. Because if you let three players go, for example, and sign three players, numbers wise, you're still looking a bit shaky.
To be honest, I think Lacazette signs a new contract.
Yeah, I don't mind him.
I think Nketiah goes. I think we'll, because the rumor is that we're gonna go for three key positions, which is centre mid, striker, and a backup right back. And we're going to apparently sign two strikers. So, but one's the main one and one's like...
So who are the strikers in mind? Like,
I've heard... I want a prolific striker. You know, I want a guy who can get goals. But the ones we've been linked with... The ones we've been linked with aren't necessarily like big goal scorers. Obviously, like if for example, like the rumor is Joao Felix, I don't really think we're going to get him. But if he comes available, I'm not going to say no because he doesn't score that many goals.
Well, considering he costs 100 and something mil, I don't think that's happening at all.
But apparently, Aleko don't have much money.
What you've got to remember though is that actually previous goal scoring form is a nod, and you can kind of understand how a player will do with that. But actually, it's the scenery, you bring a player in and actually set up a certain structure that allows them to get more chances, i.e. more goals. No one would have thought Mo Salah would come into Liverpool and score 30 or 40 a season because he wasn't doing it at Roma. If you can get the right player in, the right profile, and just structure everything around him so he's getting You're creating a lot of chances at the moment.
Yeah, yeah.
And true. You've got a striker who's not putting the ball in the back of the net. He's still playing well regardless. Mm-hmm. Lacazette recently in the past 3 to 4
9 assists in 11 games.
But I think if you can get a striker who knows how to put the ball in the back of the net. And I'm not saying a striker who averages 10, 15 goals a season. You want someone who already averages 25.
Yeah. But that's hard
in
to get.
Like 20 in the league, yeah. Like 16 to 20 in the league, another 10 in Europe.
I think they'd have to risk someone like a Tony. I just think that kind of player is going to be very hard to get. But I think getting Champions League, that exactly, will help yeah,
that's,
you massively.
That's my mentality. I'm thinking like, it opens up. When you get Champions League, yeah, I'm thinking, obviously, there are players who might, like there might be teams that are bigger teams or better teams where they might be interested in the top players. But when you get in Champions League now, I don't want us to be settling for players anymore. Like, I don't want to say, I will take him. I want us to go out there and get the best, you know? Like, before I heard about Man City supposedly agreeing to deal for Haaland, I was thinking, why not? Like, but obviously it's unrealistic, I think. If you get Champions League and then people now are looking at the team, and thinking Arsenal are playing very well. Mm-hmm. There's lots of young players, especially if you're a young player. The one I really wanted was Vlahovic. If we could have got Vlahovic, I'd have been so good.
I kind of mentioned it earlier. I think one qualification for the Champions League isn't enough for the type of profile of players you're talking about, Haaland, Felix, because who's to say there's a guarantee you'll be in it the following season? And also, I think these types of players that are naming Haaland, Felix.
Realistic. We're not going to get Haaland.
But even players of a certain caliber, it's not just about being in the Champions League. It's actually about being competitive in the Champions League. So you've got a lot to prove next season in the Champions League. First of all, it'd be a complete failure if you don't make it out of the group.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Second of all, depending on who you get in the last 16, if you don't show up, again, bit of a failure. Players will be watching that. I don't know if you'll sign a certain caliber of player this summer, in my opinion, until you've proved that you can be competitive on every front. I don't see that type of caliber. I do think you'll sign some very good players, though.
Do you know what I want? I want the smart business that Liverpool do. For example, when they went and signed Mane, who'd have thought Mane was going to turn into the player that Mane turned into?
You need that.
That kind of player, he's there at Southampton. You think, oh yeah, he's a decent player.
But you have to trust as a supporter, you have to have a lot of trust because someone like Robertson, for example, bought him from a relegated Hull City. In fact, barely even bought him. They paid us $8 million for Kevin Stewart or whatever my man's name is, and then we got Robbo for $7.5 million. We made profit on that.
But that's the point. Like, I get that, but with the track record that Arteta's had this season, players like
Ramsdale, Tomiyasu, Odegaard, they've all been successes.
Yeah, like, and they came straight into the team. So I think people will look at that and go, you know what, he's been good. So like, we have to trust him.
I do see where you're coming from, but like I said, I think this first season in the Champions League, you have to prove that you can mix it with the big boys again and be competitive.
I do think though, Arteta, people are looking at it from the outside and seeing how it's very much a project because of how many young players we do have. And you see how well they're playing as well. And we're still sort of starting to implement a style of play. So I think people look at that and think, and the one thing as well, like Newcastle, like you were saying Newcastle, who can they attract?
Yeah.
The reason they can get a Bruno is because other European leagues, they're looking at here thinking, this is where you can get the money, innit? And teams outside of the Premier League aren't making that much money. Atletico, they could let go of... let's not forget, they only bought Joao Felix after they had got the money for Griezmann. So Joao Felix, he doesn't have the big profile he had when he got to Atletico now. Obviously, things haven't been amazing. He hasn't been like a massive success like all the other strikers they've had. But it's the fact that now Atletico probably don't have that much money post-COVID.
Premier League has P, but you are not going to sign one player. You're going to sign five players, and you're gonna have maybe £150 million kitty to spend on. You're not going to spend that on one. That would be ridiculous.
Yeah, but I don't think the point I'm making is that the price for Joao Felix isn't going to be that high. I think Atletico are going to be... They might be thinking about 67 email for him.
Also, who are you hearing that from?
Well, my boy.
Your boy, yeah. So Atletico are willing, to make a £70 million loss on a player who hasn't even touched his prime.
All I'm saying is my boy's name is John Felix.
And also, Atletico don't like us. So
Yeah, we took part of them like last minute. Yeah. But whatever in it. Well, whoever you get. I at the moment, Arteta's got, he's got equity in the bank because he signed.
No, of course. Well. I just think for Arsenal this summer, it's about strengthening the squad in numbers. But still getting quality through the door. I'm talking quality players who can step into the first 11. But it, for me, it just has to be, especially if you're going to let certain players go. For example, maybe Cedric, Rob Holding. You're going to, again, bring down the numbers of your squad.
Yeah.
A couple of players get injured. So for me, it's more so about, obviously, quality, but numbers through the door for Arsenal this summer.
I can't lie. Like, I hear what you're saying, but I think he has to make two marquee signings. I think the centre mid, the eight, needs to be a marquee signing, and the striker needs to be a marquee signing, because we've obviously lost Aubameyang, and we're realistically going into next season, we've only got Lacazette.
Well, at the moment we've got no strikers.
No, I know, but like,
well, you've been relatively lucky with injuries this season. Let's say next season, right? Gabriel's out for 2 months. Then, oh god, you found out Tomiyasu's out for a month.
We've got Saliba coming back there.
But who knows what's going to happen with Saliba? Is he going to chill and happy to just sit as third choice for Arsenal?
No, his last interview, he said that he desperately wants to come back and prove.
Oh, I get that, but there's no breaking up that Gabriel White partnership.
Well, yeah, but like, if you're playing Champions League, you're playing 50 games a season. Like, if you go far, obviously, but. You're playing
well. That's my point about strengthening the numbers in the squad.
But that's why, like, I don't see us getting rid of Rob Holding, especially because Arteta loves him. So having options, like for example, Man City have 4 centre backs, Liverpool have 4 centre backs. Having those kind of options, obviously, they're all really
Rob
young.
Rob Holding can stay as a fourth choice. I don't care.
Yeah, like, so having Saliba, Gabriel, and White, I think.
And just talking about White, well. Gareth, I'm warning you. I will go St George Park. Don't you dare.
White and Tomori, if they're not in the next England squad, because we're talking about Tomori, who's one of the first names on that Milan team sheet, top of Serie A.
Speaking Italian.
Started every Champions League group game for Milan.
How do you know it's good Italian, though? He could have been saying,
I don't know. It sounded good to me. I don't know.
It sounded good to me, to be fair.
It sounded, you don't speak Italian, do you?
How do you know?
Have you
asked me?
Exactly.
Have you asked me?
I know you don't speak Italian.
Do you have an Italian passport?
Because I know you, you fool.
What do you mean?
Do you have an Italian passport?
No, why? Why do I have an Italian passport?
They're sharp then.
What do you mean? I have to have an Italian passport.
What are you, the Italian police?
What, does Tomori have an Italian passport?
Are you a translator? Are you an interpreter?
I guarantee what he was saying was, I don't know, man just want to go home and leave me alone.
No, I didn't say that.
No, it sounded
but
good.
But yeah, Gareth, that's my official warning.
Gareth.
Because watching Ben White, especially when you watch him in person, he looks so much better as well. Like,
okay,
and just
a big test for him tomorrow. And I don't say that as a joke. It is actually a big test for him tomorrow.
At the end of the game, he empties his pockets and he sees keys, wallet, Jota.
I'm scared of that guy. Anyway, there's still one more game and we're faffing about here. Man City versus Crystal Palace. Right. Mark was over the moon. I bet he watched that on the edge of his seat.
Do you know what the crazy thing was? I don't know if anyone watched this live and watched the full thing all the way through. One of the last kicks of the game, Palace had the chance to win that. Listen, first of all, just to clarify, City had by far more chances, really good chances, but there were 3 or 4 chances for Palace in that game. Mm-hmm. They could have stuck any one of those chances.
If they're a bit more,
Edward cut in. I don't know why he should have
shot first time. I thought that exactly when I watched it.
If he didn't want to shoot first time, he should have gone outside. I know you got Kyle Walker, but
Palace 2 clean sheets against City this season, 4
only
points.
Team to do it,
and that's including 3 points at the Etihad.
Yep.
1 point at Selhurst Park. I mean, job done for Palace.
I know we give a lot of credit to the likes of Gallagher and Olise. A lot of people are forgetting how good of a player Zaha is, man. Yeah. Like, certain times he was getting the ball and, like, relieving his defenders of pressure, carrying the ball upfield. Mm-hmm. I do think, and it's obviously not his fault, but he gets fouled way too much.
Yeah, he does.
And there must be a reason from his point of view, because I don't think there's anyone in the history of football who's been fouled in the last 5 years.
Jack Grealish was like...
But he makes Jack Grealish look like the strongest player in the world, the way he drops to the ground.
I do think... Zaha needs to. I really think his decision making has to improve a couple of levels. There are certain moments when he shot that he shouldn't have shot, passed when he shouldn't have passed and should have taken a shot. I think he's such a quality player, but at the top level, if you're if your brain can't move in milliseconds.
That's probably why it hasn't got moved then.
Yeah. Well, we got the move. You did get the move.
Yeah, when it was really young. Going, I know, I guess, but that's why it didn't work out, maybe.
But lots of players have got the move when they were young and it worked.
He's like 28, 29 now. So like to weed that out of his
I just think it's just for me, that's the one criticism I have of his game is that decision making.
And I've got to give a lot of credit to Conor Gallagher because in the 95th minute, he's pressing Ederson.
And he's still got a lot of energy.
I'm just like, he must be... Honestly, when he goes into the change room, he must stink, bruv. The amount of much... He must have bare BO, bro. He runs so much, like, for 90
minutes.
You
are a kinky guy, bro.
Abdi's let also, me have a sniff.
He must... And also, he must...
He's kissing Barry, man.
He has... Regardless of what happened with Chelsea, I think he's earned his way at least to get a shot back in the team with Chelsea.
Yeah, of course. No, it got to the point yesterday where I actually thought... And this is probably when he was pressing Ederson in the 95th. And it's not just because of the press. He's quality in so many aspects. I actually thought to myself... Please, Chelsea, make another mistake with a player.
Let him go.
He's a top player, man. Yeah. But Chelsea,
and he should be playing week in, week
and
out.
And you notice about like Chelsea, the amount of time they chop and change, they're all of the players behind the striker, well, even the striker as well. So I don't see why he can't get a couple games in.
Yeah, you know, but right now a player like him, especially like having exposure, like for West with West Brom and Crystal Palace playing every single week. Like,
yeah, much better for him this way. Playing, it wouldn't have surprised him if he started every single one of Palace's games because he's always fit, he's robust, he's reliable.
I think anyone out of the top six, I'm not like, let's discount the top six for a moment. Any team would take him.
Oh, yeah.
And be a genuine starter. Yeah. A genuine starter in all of those teams.
But the point is, if you've gone on loan to a team outside of the top six, why would you not want to think from a team that is in the top six? Yeah. Why would you not think? He's done very well. Like he's exceeded everyone's expectations. Everyone is a good player, but I don't think he's going to be this good for Palace. So why would you not feel like you deserve a shot at the top club?
No, 100%. But what I'm saying,
it's like Harvey Elliott. Harvey Elliott went way lower than his ability, and he smashed it up in the Championship. He's come back, and he was in the team before he broke his leg, innit? Yeah, so. But you've got to be rewarded for the way you play.
But the difference is Liverpool give opportunities to young players. Chelsea rarely do.
Well, Chelsea have been recently after their hands were forced. But I wouldn't say Liverpool give that many opportunities to young players. I mean, Trent, since Klopp, yes.
Yeah.
But before Klopp, not really.
But so you're talking six,
7 years.
Yeah,
but then even then, like...
I don't think Junior was referring to a decade ago. When we give young players chance, you don't have to... nitpick at everything because we actually do right now. We're one of the clubs in the league who give young players the most chances. I know your starting 11 is full of young players.
No, I mean just from your academy though. That's the point I'm making because there's only two really.
Well, you've got Trent, Curtis Jones. You got Trent. But in terms of we've given players like Tyler Morton big games in the Champions League away at the San Siro. You look at our League Cup games. The first three of them were academy players. Kelleher, League Cup final, every single League Cup game. Well, he was forced into playing last season. We give more opportunities to young players more than most clubs in the league. By far.
There was the winger that started against us as well. What's his name? In the Carabao Cup, the semi-final.
Which leg?
Or maybe the second leg.
Oh, yeah. I think he played in the FA Cup, not against us.
I was there. I saw him.
But listen, debuts just this season. Owen Beck at left back, Tyler Morton in centre mid, Connor Bradley at right back. This is all debuts just this season. And just because you don't see it because it happens in... We give so many opportunities.
The winger as well.
That's cool. And
Harvey Blair made
like
his debut. I don't know if that's who you're referring
to. They just sound
to.
Like
Cade
members
Gordon.
In One Direction.
Gordon.
Cade Gordon.
This one, Gordon.
That's cool and everything, but they sound like members of One Direction. Man.
Anyway.
We've gone over this.
Let's quickly do Man of the Week.
Technically, I was last week.
Yeah, I was going to say so.
But I think I'm actually going to go back to my usual thing. So it's going to someone in red. I can't not give it to Luis Diaz.
Yeah, knew it.
That is for getting the opening goal. Opening goal is always so important in the Premier League. Literally putting his head on the line to get it, and just in general for his exciting performances.
Tanya?
Ronaldo has to be the GOAT. Cristiano Ronaldo for his hat trick, played brilliantly against us. So yeah,
Abdi.
Ronaldo.
I'm gonna give it to someone in red and go with Luis Diaz for his. I'm checking that. Wow. I go Odegaard. Odegaard was amazing. So yeah.
So I'll give mine to Gerhard. Gerhardt.
His whole 1 minute and 30 second performance.
Listen, back the 3 points.
You gotta be there to score the goal.
Exactly. A Leeds fans help me out.
Well, Ted Lasso could have scored that.
It wasn't just the goal. He won the header, flicked it onto Rafinha, beat big boy centre back. We're talking about 18, 19 year old. I don't know how old he is.
Well, give him play of the season. Then we're waiting for.
That's definitely where I was going to.
Why you like this? Anyway, catch us on the next exciting episode of We'll Talk About That Later.
Sports Social Podcast Network.